of you have a good week this week?
Pretty good, if all this allergies and stuff.
Ain't nothing I can do about that. Because we're going to have the allergies.
I'm like a little baby when my nose gets stuck, something pricks me.
Tell me about it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm going to have to wind up getting me a humidifier or something, I think, to put in my room.
All right. If you will, turn into the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. I tell you, Deuteronomy is a good book. It's a whole lot here that we can grasp upon in the book of Deuteronomy, because in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells us some things that that we have to have before we can even walk, talk, anything, and that's the blood. And he says that in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. And with that life that's in the blood, we have an opportunity to go about telling people about the precious love of the Lord Jesus. Now, you know that He loves you. I know that He loves me. But in the same sentence, I also know that when He loves me, He also gets disappointed in me. And He gets disappointed within each one of the church people that He has. The church is the ones that have been saved. They're the saints of God. They're not no buildings, but they're individuals that is taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. Now we know that this world that we live in, it's not going to be around here much longer, because we're living in the last days. Oh, in the book of Timothy, it speaks about we're living in perilous times. And it's telling us about them times too. And it's telling us about where men are lovers of their own selves and the lovers of other men. Women the same way. But you know, the thing about it is, they don't know the love of God. I doubt very seriously we can go, each one of us could, we could get together one day this week and we could all go out in different directions and we could come back and we could meet back here in the afternoon. After we went to different places and talk to people and ask them about the Lord Jesus and what they think and everything. And you would get so many different opinions about your relationship and their relationship with the Lord. They don't have no relationship. The only relationship that they have is with the devil. And the devil, he's out here, he's a roaring lion, he's a liar, he's a thief, and the only thing he wants to do is kill your testimony. That's the only thing he wants to do to me, is kill my testimony. And if he can get hold to me and he can kill my testimony, then he has done a tremendous job. Because look at the people that at one time they looked at me and or they heard me preach and they knew where I stood at on some things. Same way with you on some things that they knew that you stood on. And you know how to get saved. You know who to go to. But to see the devil, if he can get a hold of us as individuals, and if he can grab us, then he done his job for the day. And he's done it perfectly. We haven't done our job perfectly because we don't go out and do it like the Lord says do it sometimes. Sometimes the Lord may speak to me, may speak to you about calling somebody or going by somewhere and visiting them that the individual is so bogged down with the world, they hurt. They hurt day by day, and they can't even tell you what the hurt is. But I can tell them exactly what the hurt is. The hurt is where the Holy Spirit has done grabbed a hold of their heart and trying his very best to convict them of their sin, and they would yield to him. But today, you see very little yielding anymore. You don't see many saints of God to come into God's house and say, "Well, Pastor, what can I do? What can I do to help the cause? What can I do to help to build a church? What can I do? What can I do? I want you to tell me, what can I do?" And I don't tell him nothing, and don't tell him nothing, don't tell her anything. And the next thing I know, I see him, I say, "I'm a doggone. They done took the initiative on them. They'll be taking the bag out of that trash can. And they going around and getting the other trash out of the other trash cans." Hey, that'd be a joy. That would be a joy. You know why? Because you're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for the church. You're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of these days, we're going to hear that saying come from heaven. If you're saved, you're going to hear that sound. The ones that's not saved, they're not going to hear that sound. They're going to go on like nothing has happened. Except they may come by and say, "Well, doggone it. Where was the preacher at? I just seen him a little while ago. Where is he at now?" Hey, I ain't going to stick around. You ain't going to stick around either. We don't want to stick around. We want to go where he's at because of what he's done for us. What has he done for you? What has he done for me? The most important thing he's done for me is that he saved my soul. And he wrote my name there in the Lamb's Book of Life. With the crimson blood that he shed at Calvary. It cannot be blotted out. God the Father cannot even go and erase it. The Holy Spirit can't even go and erase it. Jesus Christ, he can't go and erase it if I do something wrong. Because it's there. It stays there for eternity. How long is it eternity? Forever. How long is forever for eternity? How long is for eternity? Forever. And that lost soul, that individual that's lost and just don't want to hear anything from the church or anything like that, don't want to hear anything from the saints of God, know what? They're going to hear the same words. You're going to live forever. You're going to live for eternity. You're going to live forever. You're going to live for eternity. But you ain't going to be living it there in heaven. You're going to be right there in hell. And you're going to be, you ain't going to be able to talk to nobody. You ain't going to be able to fellowship with nobody or nothing. I've even had some of them say, well, I'm going to hell. I know it. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to have some company down there. I'm going to have some of my best friends down there. I said, yes, sir. But you know something? You're not going to know it. You're not going to know that they're right beside you. He said, why? I said, you're going to be in agony. And you're going to remember all the songs, all the gospel songs, all the gospel melodies I hear that has been sung and you heard them. Yes, Amazing Grace. You're going to hear every word. You're going to hear it not just one time, but you're going to hear it over and over and over. And you're going to hear your mama praying over you. And you're going to hear your daddy begging you to go to church and begging you to get saved for God. But now you remember them and their prayers. That right there, I believe, I think that's got to be torture. It's got to be torture. In knowing that you had an opportunity, in knowing that they had an opportunity, just to step out by faith and nothing less and nothing anymore. By faith, step out by faith and the Holy Spirit will lead you to Jesus, will lead them to Jesus. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be doing these things. And I had another message I was aiming to preach, but Lord, evidently he didn't want me to, so. But the title of that one was The Deadness. What causes the deadness in the church? What causes the church to fall off? The deadness. You know whose fault that is? Ours. Mine. The saints of God. We're not praying like we should pray. We're not speaking to people. We need to let them know. We need to let them know. Can you think about the time that you was lost? When you was lost, and can you remember the time that even if the preacher was up here preaching, can you remember the time when the Holy Spirit of God got a hold to your heart and brought you under conviction? And under conviction brought you what? Salvation. And it brought you home there in heaven. And you know who built my home there in heaven? The main carpenter, the Lord Jesus Christ. He built my home. He's still working on my home because I ain't got there yet. But when I get ready to go, he's going to hang out a welcome sign on the outside of my door. Welcome home. Welcome home. Thy good and faithful servant. Welcome home. Till we get home. It's some things that we must do until we get home. In verses 8 and 9, here it says, ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. There's a whole lot right there in two verses. But the main two is there is talking about home. It's talking about us going home. Even if we are here on a job and we work, and when the time comes, when that bell goes off or whatever, and we go, we get an automobile, and we go home. What are we aiming to do there when we go home? We're aiming to rest a little while. You know what we can rest in? We can rest in the inheritance that we're going to receive from God the Father. We're going to receive an inheritance. And what an inheritance is going to be. Some people thought Job lost everything. No, Job, he didn't lose nothing. He didn't lose a thing. Job was just as righteous when his kids was gone. His livelihood had gone. His farm had gone. He was just as righteous. He did not waver one bit. But see, the devil went to God and said, God, would you allow me to attack Job? God says, you can do anything you want to Job, but you cannot take his life. And I tell you, Job went through it. He went through it all. But just think about his wife. Think about his wife for a minute. We don't ever say a whole lot about his wife. We always say about Job and what Job had done and built up and everything, and wealth and the cattle and everything. But we hardly ever mention his wife. But we can see where his wife spoke to Job, and she both spoke to Job out. And she made it about as blunt as it could be. When Job was sitting on the ashes there with the boils from his head to his toes, why was he sitting in them ashes? There was red coals and everything. Why was he sitting there? He was sitting there so it was easy pain of what was going on with him. That's the reason he sat down. He wanted to ease the pain. And that was going to ease the pain. But his wife looked at Job and said, Job, I just don't understand. I don't understand why God is allowing you to go through all of this. You know yourself, and I know, that you have not done anything at all against God. You've been there for him. You fought for him. And you love him. But now I see you on the bed of coals, sitting right there. And I can see the pain in your face. I can see the agony in your voice. Says, honey, why don't you just curse God and die? She was looking after Job. She was looking after his best interest. She was. Because he was in so much pain. But until he got home, he was going to go through that pain. You know, we're going to go through some of the same pains too. We ain't got home yet. But I got a feeling it's about ready to take place. It's about ready to take place. Because the United States is getting ready to go back into battle over in Iran. They're getting ready to go back to battle over in Iran. I mean, and Donald Trump, praise the Lord, I sure am glad he's the president of the United States. I sure am glad he's my president, because he is not going to allow nothing to happen to his people here that's over, where they're overseas and everything. Let's see, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Iran that he just put the word out this week for all the American citizens to leave Iran and to come back home. The embassy over there, the U.S. embassy over in Iran, they'd already had got the word. And they knew that they was going to have to get out. Well, see, they just didn't pack up what they had and get into their little convoy and ride the roads and leave. They stayed right there with the people, with every U.S. citizen. They are protecting them. They are protecting them. Till we get home. What are we going to do? What are we going to do until we get home? I don't need nothing else. I don't need no new car. I don't need another bank account. I don't need nothing. I don't need all that stuff. What I do need is telling people about Jesus. Telling people about Jesus. When was the last time? And you ain't got to raise your hand. You don't have to speak out. When was the last time that you spoke to somebody and you told them about Jesus' love for them? When's the last time? You know, we as individuals and individual saints, what he has done for us and what we know that he's done for us and what he's going to continue on doing till we get home, is that where he wants us to lean on his bosom. He wants us to just lay our head on his chest where we can get the rest that we need, so we can go out and tell somebody. If it's been 3 or 4 days since you told somebody that Jesus loves them, if it's been a week, if it's been 2 weeks, or if it's been a month, maybe it's been a long time, maybe it's been 6 months, maybe it's been a year. What are you doing for God today? What are we doing? What are we doing as saints of God? And saints, that is real. God called me a saint. I look at myself and I say, I'm far from being a saint. I'm far from being a saint. But see, God says I'm a saint. You know why? Because when God looks down on me, you know what he sees? He sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I was bathed in it. I was washed in it. That's what the baptistry means. That's what being baptized means. That you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're baptized with his blood, and you cannot go wrong. People are here going wrong every day. They're abusing God. How they're abusing God? They're abusing God by the Bible that they carry. What are you saying, preacher? Before an individual purchases a Bible, before an individual takes that Bible home with them, they need to check it out. They need to check it out to where it ain't done away with the deity of Christ. And it ain't done away with the blood. And they're not speaking about Mary as if Mary was Mary. Oh, that's a bunch of hogwash. What has happened to us? What has happened to us? What has happened to us? As Christians, what happens? What happened to us? What happened to me? What's happened to me? I should be out every day. I should be, if I can't drive my automobile, then I need to go out there and get on that lawnmower of my daughter's, and I need to ride it to the nearest place. And I need to go out there and tell somebody. I need to be out there telling people. That's the only way they're going to get saved, if we take them the gospel. And yes, and you taking the gospel, and the Lord Jesus Christ says that you are a preacher, an individual that carries the gospel and shares the gospel is a preacher sharing God's word with other individuals. The pastor is completely different from the preacher. The preacher is supposed to be able to get up here and be able to listen, not just to what he's saying, but listening to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. What are we doing? Are we just playing church? Can we go out there and maybe go up a highway and just pull over and talk to somebody and just ask them, just, are we just playing church? Do you see that? The way we just play in church? And they tell you, yeah, just play in church. You know the best way to go out and talk to people? Go out there and talk to them. And you don't have to give them nothing new. Give them your testimony. Give them your testimony and what the Lord Jesus has done for you. Where he wrote your name down there in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only one book. Let them know that. And let them know how much God loves me. And how much that with God's love toward me, that I can be able to share what love he gives me to you, somebody that needs a way out, needs hope, needs something precious in their life. Till we get home, we must stay close to God. Stay close to him. and lean on Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He sought me. And when he sought me, he left heaven. He left heaven. He left the side of his Father. And his Father was willing to let him go. But when he left heaven, what did he do? He come a-looking for me. He come a-looking for you. He come a-looking for the individuals that he created heaven for. He did not create this earth. He did not create hell for his saints. He did not create it for his saints. The only reason that he, only reason it was even created is because Satan created it. Satan created it for his own self. Because there won't supposed to be nobody's going to hell except Satan, Lucifer, and his cohorts. The angels that was with him that turned their back on God there in heaven. But yet, people are turning their back on God every day. And you know who the majority of them are? Is born again believers, Christians. They're turning their back on God. And they said, God, what? I know you saved me. I don't have no doubt about that. I can take you. I can take many people. I can take anybody who wants to go with me. I can take them right to where I bowed and where I cried and I shed the tears for my soul. And I asked you to come into my heart and to save my life. And you did. And I experienced that. But Lord, something has changed though. Something has changed at the local church. Something has changed. It's not like it used to be. It's not like what my grandmother and my granddaddy was talking about. It's not about what they was telling me and the way things was going. When they would go to church, they would have the pastor of the church or the deacons and anything to go and raise all their windows so people could just listen. Listen to the word of God. They don't do that here in the United States no more. Why? Well, you talk to some, and you can talk to some preachers, and they'll tell you, say, well, we just done preached too much. We've preached too much. No, I don't think we've preached. I don't know what we've been doing. We've been playing church. We've been playing church. Because let me tell you what. The reason I say that we're playing church, and the reason I say that I'm playing church, it's not because of what I'm preaching. It's not because of that. It's because I don't pray enough and ask God to send that fire from heaven to touch my soul and to touch my heart. To when I go out there, that I will just preach hell hot and heaven sweet. And I will preach hell hot And heaven's weak because it's got some banana pudding now, or it's something like that. But it's got always something there in heaven for us. Always. It's something there always for you. Something there always for me. He sought me. Why? Because he left heaven. He bought me. Why? When he was on the cross. That's when he purchased me. When he was on the cross that day. He caught me when the Holy Spirit brought conviction to my heart. He caught me. He taught me with the word of the Spirit. The Comforter. Which will teach us all things. And the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will bring all things back to our remembrance. I know I said that some, and I've had even people say something. You know, you've got to learn how to memorize verses. Well, I said, well, no, you ain't either. That memorizing verses, that's what people have come up with to where they're going to make a little extra money. I says, why do I want to go out here and buy a book? And that book has the author's name on it. But yet I can sit down and I can read that book. But I never hear anything at all from the author. The author does not speak to me. Nothing speaks to me. Why do I need that? When I can go right straight to the source. I go to right straight to the source. I can go to my comforter. I can go to one that comforts me. Every day of my life, he comforts me. Yes. And he rocks me. He rocks me to sleep at night. He just rocks me back to where I once was. People today, they just think about this and that. They don't think about their soul. They don't even think about the family. A whole lot of people don't. Because if we cannot take the gospel to our family members, and a lad to do the work there, then how can anyone expect us to be able to go out here and visit somebody that we do not even know? We don't even know them. But yes, we know. We know our family. We know our family members. We know our family members. We know the ones that's not saved. We know the ones that's lost. We know the ones that used to come to church. They used to come here. They used to be faithful to God. And they used to be here. But where are they at today? Where are they at? They've got hooked up with the wrong individual. They've got hooked up with the wrong people. They've got hooked up with and being self-absorbed with things that other people is offering them. I need to do everything that I can to win my brothers. I got one, he says he's saved. The other one says, he don't really say anything, really. He said, well, yeah, I got saved when I was 16. But boy, he ain't living it. He ain't living it. And I also believe if you've saved, if you've got Jesus Christ living inside of you and in your heart and in your soul, you're going to want to try your best to do right, to where he won't be disappointed. But a whole lot of people today, they're going to be surprised one day. They're going to be surprised one day that they're going to step out. And they may end up coming to church, Daniel, maybe one Sunday, or one Sunday night, or one Wednesday night. Something may have touched them that they want to be here that night. And they come. Quarter to six, Wednesday night, nobody here. Quarter to seven, ain't a call on the line. 7 o'clock, ain't nobody here. Where are they at? They've always been there. If they didn't have a crowd, they'd have at least a preacher and his wife would be there, and a deacon and somebody else. We'd have at least 5 or 6 or 7 people there, because we know that they're going to be there. But where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Praise God, I'm going home. Praise God. Where is the rest of the church? Where is Brother Bill at? Brother Bill's gone. Where's he gone to? He's gone to heaven. Where's Sister Donna gone? Sister Donna, she's gone to heaven. She's on the same flight. Where's Sister Betty gone? Sister Betty's gone on the same flight. She's gone to heaven. Where's Sister Irma gone? She's gone on to heaven. And she's on the way, hallelujah. What about Sister Nancy? Sister Nancy, yeah, she loved the Lord. She's gone. She ain't here. She ain't going to stay back. She's not going to wait on nobody. She's going to go back. She's going there because she wants to sing for her Lord. And she's been doing a good job down here. She can sing it without any music at all. And I'll tell you one thing, with her voice and everything, it will go farther than any musician's voice will ever go that plays by the music and everything. You know, I like to hear people just get up here and sing, try to sing. And you know something? And if you do it enough, then the Lord will one day wake you up. And they'll wake you up how? How would he wake you up? He would wake you up. Talk to him. Preach, I've heard you sing. It touched my heart. That not only God touches our heart, but our family members also touches our heart. Where they at tonight? I mean this morning. Do you know where they at? Do I know where my daughter's at? Do you know where your children are? Do you know where the other family members are? If any of you here can say yes to that, and even myself can say yes to that, then we must be doing what God asks us to do. Go and bless them. Go and bless the children. The little children can be blessed. We can be blessed by thy presence. Anytime when young people get up here and they just get up here to sing, like Caleb and one, and I've been out to all the different churches and had young people that have them 4, 5 years old, 6, and have them about 2 and 3 years old, and they'd be up there singing. Oh man. That, if everybody that don't bless you, your blesser is broke. But I'll tell you one thing. We need to do everything we can. We don't need to be jealous. I ain't jealous of nobody. If anybody wants to come up to me and say, "Preacher," says, "I enjoyed the message, but one thing that you said there, I don't agree with you on." It's okay. I'm human. God's given me that right to where I can fall. God has given me the right to where I can fail. And when I fail, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And He will speak to you too when you fail. But I love God, my precious Father. I love my elder brother, Jesus Christ. And I also love my cousins or my stepbrother, what you want to call him, the Holy Ghost. I love him. I love all three of them, the bottom of my heart. I don't want to do anything to hurt them. I don't want to do anything at all will bring any kind of shame or reproach to them. But I'm sorry to say, I do at times. But that's when the Holy Ghost comes back and says, "Donnie, I'm sorry about what you just done. You know, I don't like it. And you know your brother don't like you here. And you know your father, he don't like it. So then that's when I must go to all three. And I must repent." What does the word repentance mean? It means that you turn about face. And you walk in a different direction than you was walking in. You walk in a complete different direction. You don't walk off to the left. You don't walk off to the right. You don't walk forward. But you turn around and you walk backwards. And you keep on going that way. You never walk to the left or right. Because if you do, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. I want to challenge each one of you this week. That for each one of us this week, at least twice this week, each one of us, will go out and talk to somebody or speak to them. And share Jesus with them. And just tell them that everything that Jesus has done for you, any testimony that you have. And then if they come up and if they will say, "Well, you know, I appreciate you coming by. Appreciate you speaking to me. But I can't come down to the church down there, so and so down there. I just can't go and fellowship to church while they're there." Sad to say, what they're doing, they're blaming God. They don't realize it. They are blaming God. And they're saying that they don't want to have fellowship with God. We need to go out there this week. If each one of us takes and we speak to people, and if we invite two people, each one of us, invite two people to church next Sunday morning, you may be surprised of who may be here. You may be surprised. But see, it's easy to pray. For it. That's the easy part, praying. But the hard part is putting our feet to the fire and to walk out here and to give the people something that they can chew on and they can gnaw on all week. Would you do that for me? Don't do it for me. You do it for God. You do it for yourself. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. How many we might can get out of here. Then on top of that, when God does surprise you next week, oh yeah, we may not have two of each ones that we've invited. We may not have a one or two to come. But see, the one or two is going to be the one or two that is going to really perk us up. Well, we can be like the percolator. We can get going with the percolator, and we can start out here, and we just want to tell people everything. We want to tell people about Jesus, and ain't nothing going to stop us. But we got to do it and let people know what he's done for me, what he's done for you. If they realize that, then they can realize, well, if God can do that for them, surely he can do something for me. Surely he can help me with that addiction, that alcohol. Yes, he can help me with this addiction, with that addiction. And I'm going to leave one last word with you in closing. How many of you are willing to say to God, not me, and not to Faith Baptist Church, but to God, you're willing to go that extra mile for the individual that's lost? Are you willing? Hey, I'm willing. I'm going to do more. I'm going to do more than I have. I got phone books everywhere in the house. I got the internet, and I got phone books on the internet. I mean, if you carry me across seas, there's no need in why we can't lead somebody else to the Lord. It's not a reason at all that somebody can't go out here and say, if it wasn't for the people down at Faith Baptist Church, they came out and they visited. And I was at the lowest point in my life. Now, Lord, as we are being dismissed from the service here, Father, that we can never be dismissed from your holiness. And Father, I pray now that you take each one of us that's here. There's no reason why that it cannot be done. And Lord, and I know that you're just waiting for us to make the first move. Because we know if we make the move, you will also make the move on our life. So Father, help us this week that you may give us a name or someone that we can go to and just talk to them where they won't get upset with us. And we can just tell them how good you've been to us, our testimony. Father, really, that's all we have is our testimony. We have our testimony. And with that testimony, it will bring character in our lives. But if you have any kind of character at all, it can also bring you the peace that can come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you and bring us back to the next appointed time. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we